say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Victory for our God. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The readings of Holy Scripture for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, the Old Testament reading from Habakkuk, the first and second chapters. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, and so the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be greatly shaken.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him?
Like a leaning wall of
they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood.
They bless with their mouths, but in worldly labors.
For God alone, my soul wait in silence,
for my hope is from him.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be shaken.
On God rests my salvation and my glory.
My mighty rock, my refuge is God.
Trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him.
God is a refuge for us.
Those of low estate are but a breath, those of high estate are a delusion.
In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery.
In riches is greed, set not your heart on the rein.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this,
that thou belongs to God, and that the yoke of the Lord belongs steadfast love.
For you will render to a man
according to his word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Epistle lesson from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. According to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. So pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? And so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty.'" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Together we confess the holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on the inside back cover of your hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. On the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, we give consideration to the reading taken from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. In this passage, we hear a record of discourse from our Lord that teaches the necessity of faith for our salvation and the necessity of those good works we must do, which themselves cannot merit our salvation. We will consider both of these areas of teaching as they are presented in today's gospel reading. In the first place, we hear our Lord teach his disciples through a strong word of exhortation, the dire outcome of being one through whom temptation to sin comes. Such dire outcome is pictured by Christ as being worse than having a millstone hung around one's neck and being cast into the sea, with the result of being pulled down to one's grave in the watery depths beneath. It would be better for one to suffer such an end as that, the Lord spoke, than to cause one of these little ones to sin. Such woe issued from the Lord's own mouth is followed by a stern instruction to pay attention to hold the mind towards, and even to be cautious about ourselves. For if our brother sins, we are to rebuke him, and if he repents, we are to forgive him, even if in a single day multiple sins should occur against us, and those sins be turned away from at a word of rebuke, we are to forgive our repentant brethren. Now it is woeful to yield temptation toward sin for one's neighbor, to be sure. Yet leaving our neighbor's sin against us unrebuked may be seen to be woeful as well. For here we begin to see from the teaching of our Lord the necessity of faith for our collective salvation. It is true that all of us, I and my neighbor alike, sin much and daily and deserve nothing short of God's temporal and eternal punishment. Yet I may know nothing of my own sin. I may be entirely inept at giving heed to my own actions if the Lord's holy commandments do not rebuke me for my sin. And for my neighbor's sake, they can hardly be expected to turn from sins against their neighbors of which they have no knowledge and have received no rebuke. To leave the holy commandments of God in the secrecy of one's own bosom and to never make them known as the Lord himself made them known to his people by the prophets is surely to leave the sins of the neighbor unrebuked and to offer them no cause to repent and to be forgiven. Rather, such lack of teaching offers nothing more to the neighbor than further temptation to sin, seeing as the unconverted heart is ever inclined toward evil, and sins unrebuked give way to more and more sin. Yet there is no guarantee that one's offering of the teaching of the Lord's commandments will truly bring forth repentance. For true repentance comes not merely from the crushing weight of contrition wrought by the threats of God's punishment, but truly from the promise of the Lord's mercy in Christ, which gives the sinner a location of righteousness which can be turned unto. It is faith, or confidence in the mercy of Almighty God, which gives true cause for turning away from the sin which the commands of God rebuke. Even we ourselves needed the mercy of God to be that which we could turn unto before we could ever depart from those sins of ours which were rightly rebuked by our Lord through his holy commandments. We needed the regenerating power of the Spirit at work through water and the Word to turn us little ones away from the devil's power. Thus, even as those disciples of his who heard his instructive, exhortative word and were to be his apostles thereafter, said unto him, "Increase our faith," so too do we also believe, teach, and confess that faith comes from God by the power of the Holy Spirit at work through the Word, which brings us unto everlasting life through the forgiveness of our sin. If we are to teach his commandments, if we are to display that holiness which is the Lord's and his righteousness in us, if we are to rebuke our neighbor's sins against us, if we are to confess the truth of God's word in our lives, and if we are therefore to condemn falsehood in all of its vexing vanities, if we are ourselves to be justified before the Lord our God and be saved by his mercy alone, then we must have that confidence in his mercy which comes from the fullness of his counsel unto us, and not in part, lest we find ourselves harboring temptations unto sin for such as those little ones unto whom the kingdom of heaven truly belongs. For faith, true faith, which justifies a sinner before God, has its confidence in this, that sin against God and against one's neighbor has truly been committed by those who confess it, and that all sin committed and confessed has truly been atoned for and forgiven by Christ, who is the sole source of our sins' propitiation and our advocate with the Father. Without such faith, one cannot render any kind of work unto one's neighbor that does not carry with it the potential for temptation. In truth, even faith as small as a mustard seed cannot speak in such a way as to uproot a deeply rooted mulberry tree-like temptation unto sin and plant it, or rather cast it, into the sea, unless such faith is brought to life by the preaching of God's holy word and the administration of his baptism. In the second place, we may observe and consider the instruction from our Lord which concerns the unworthiness of our works to merit our salvation. In the latter portion of our Lord's discourse from today's gospel reading, we hear a profoundly humbling illustration employed for us. The illustration presented by Christ unto his disciples of the servant who did what was commanded of him might at first seem as though the servant who is plowing in the field or who is keeping sheep is one like us who is unworthy or unprofitable and thus only doing like us what was his rightful duty. However, we find upon closer consideration that our Lord Jesus Christ presents an initial contrast between a servant plowing or keeping sheep and any one of you. Thus, this particular servant who plows and shepherds within the illustration cannot be just any one of us sinners. In truth, this particular servant is shown in the illustration to possess a certain capacity for suffering, especially for any one of us. This particular servant, which any one of us has, plowing in the field, preparing the field for sowing and for harvest, keeping sheep through the long, cold, and perilous nights, when he comes in from the field when he enters the abode of any one of us, he is not served. He is apparently not on the receiving end of the service of any one of us when he should rest from his labors. In truth, according to the illustration employed by our Savior, this servant is further commanded to prepare supper for us, to gird himself around for us, and to be of service for us while we eat and drink. And only then, after any one of us is properly served, only after this particular servant has suffered the provision of our needs, will he likewise eat and drink. And will any one of us even thank this particular servant for such extended suffering and service? Will we be of any degree of gratitude toward this one who labored so intensely in the field, plowing difficult earth that seed might take root, and keeping sheep who are but wont to go astray, only after preparing for us a rich supper and girding himself properly and serving our own needs instead of his? In truth, this particular servant can be none other than the suffering servant spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, whose preaching ministry did plow the earth for the seed of faith to take root in his church, who does shepherd his people Israel as the good shepherd, laying down his life even for the sheep, who when he came in from the field unto his people's abode in holy Jerusalem did gird himself with thorns, nails, and spear, and cross, and did prepare for any one of us who would believe in him the supper of his body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sin, and does serve that supper to us by his ministering, faith-creating, and sustaining word. And is he thanked for all his suffering labor unto us? Do we thank the Lord for actively and passively obeying all that the Father commanded of him to do for us? Not if we insist on being justified by our own works. For it is not our service which renders such labors accomplished, but his. Our works, however good they may be, as a result of the faith we have received in Christ, our Savior, cannot merit our salvation. As the psalmist has said, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." And again, "I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments." Our works in keeping with the commandments of our Lord to love and instruct our neighbors and to bear witness to the truth of God's word for them and for us all does not and cannot ever merit our own salvation. As Melanchthon once wrote in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, "God saves by mercy and because of his promise, not that it is due because of the value of our works." Nevertheless, despite the value of our good works not meriting salvation from God, there are none who can receive salvation from God apart from good works, for which one of us has heard the gospel apart from the works of Christ? Or which one of us came to believe in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, without the aid of the word unto us? For the word to be in our hearing, for faith to come to life in us, faith had to be at work through love. Even as the Apostle Paul once wrote unto Timothy, Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. That pattern of the sounds, of the sound words heard from St. Paul can be nothing other than the example of Christ, the faith and love that are in him and are made to be in each one of us who believe in him and are not ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. We confess unto the world Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, not so that our works might be of sufficient value to merit our salvation, but because his works, his service unto us, have proven by his resurrection from the dead to be of sufficient value to merit the salvation of all who believe in him. And yet, without the following of that sound pattern of faith, without the bold witness made to the power of the gospel unto salvation, without the faithful proclamation of the word and the right administration of the mysteries of God, who can receive the Lord's benefits unto them? And yet it is not your service. It's not my service. It is not your works or my works which save sinners from their sin. It is his service and his works. You and I are to guard the good deposit entrusted to us by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And at the last, when you look to see the profitability of your service unto your neighbors, you can know for certain that any profit gained in terms of salvation was gained by the Lord and not by you or me. For when at the end of your time in this life, when you look back at all you have done and all that you were commanded, you may in humble gratitude say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us rise for prayer.
Today, those who continue to grieve the death of their dear ones, namely Mim Balzer and her family, at the death of her husband, Bud. We also pray for Beverly Myers and her family at the death of Beverly's husband, Frank. We pray for Michael Gruno and Edmund Burden, William Wharton and Benoit Kai, brothers of ours in Christ, unable to attend services with us. And finally, today we also pray for, by name, those who are Lutheran Church of Our Savior supported missionaries, namely Reverend Daniel Conrad's family, Mr. John Wolfe and family, and Vicar Peter Williams. For these and others, let us pray. O Lord God, almighty and everlasting, the rock, salvation, and fortress of all your people, we come before you through the mediation of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our brother and Savior, to pour out our heart to you, knowing that our hope and aid come from you. That the Lord God would grant to his church and to his people of Lutheran Church of Our Savior faith fixed intently on Jesus and the redemption that he has achieved, that he would grant a fervency of love for one another as we have been loved, that he would grant a zeal to share the gospel of Christ, that he would grant readiness to forgive one another as we ourselves readily have been forgiven, and to the repentant in heart and life that he would grant a clear conscience, joyful and light. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for the households of this congregation, that they hope in the Lord's salvation and follow his commandments, and that like Lois and Eunice before them, fathers and mothers faithfully teach the next generation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the pastors and people of Lutheran Church of Our Savior and the Church at large, that pastors in their preaching and teaching, and hearers in their hearing and living follow the pattern of sound words, and that all would guard the good deposit of faith entrusted to us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Mim and family, and for Beverly and family, that these may be comforted in their sorrow and grief as they recall that Christ Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, that nothing, present nor things to come, can separate them from the love of God in Jesus Christ, and that in due time they will join in endless bliss all those who have departed this life, trusting in the saving work of Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, our state, and our cities, that they thrive with honest and productive industry, that their leaders govern wisely and be strengthened and protected so to do, and that justice not go forth perverted, nor violence and conflict reign, but that justice be true and peace be known in our neighborhoods, towns, and cities. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our brothers Edmund and Michael and William and Benoit, that the Lord would grant them continually his Holy Spirit to strengthen them in the faith and in love that is in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Pastor Conrad and family, John Wolfe and family, and Vicar Williams, that as they work or prepare to work in the foreign mission field, that they may live unafraid of adversity and unashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, but serve in the power of the Spirit and with love and self-control, always regarding themselves as unworthy servants of the King, Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. With thanksgiving for the Blessed Supper and for hearts well prepared to receive what not even angels are permitted to call theirs, the flesh and blood of Jesus, the world's Redeemer and ours, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear and grant our prayers, Lord God, for power belongs to you, and to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love toward us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.